And dear believer, then, holding to the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture is a witness. Believing in the rule that God has given that we may glorify Him, and glorifying Him through that sufficient rule is a witness to those who have set it aside. A witness, not a statement of pride, but a witness. That we believe that truth, that we live that truth, that we practice that truth. May we not set the Word of God aside. May we not set aside our belief in the sufficiency of Scripture. May we love it. May we stand for it. May we love and desire the Word of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Listening to Psalm 23,
produced by the Whitfield Choir of the Free Presbyterian Church. Thank you for joining us today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, welcoming you to our program today. We've been considering the essentiality of the Scriptures, and we're going to go right now to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part four of that message, the essentiality of the Scriptures.
Robert Rollick, an old preacher, said the Scripture is perfect, containing in it all things necessary for faith and manners, not only sufficiently, but abundantly. Abundantly. And of course, when we say sufficiently, if I went round to your house and you made me dinner, and I said to you, well, that dinner was sufficient, I wonder, would you think that would be a strange thing to say? It's sufficient until I next get something to eat. It's sufficient for this little period of time. When we talk about God's word being sufficient and being just enough, or enough all we need, there's an abundance there. We need to remember that. It is not merely sufficiency in the sense of tiding us over, but it is abundant. It is abundant. Not only sufficiently, but abundantly. Scripture contains everything we need for the work of the ministry, for the evangelism of the world. And therefore, as believers, because God's word is sufficient, whatever we face in life, whatever discouragement comes upon us, whatever distress we face, Scripture is sufficient in its help to us. And because it is sufficient, let us seek to grow in that same Scripture. Let us love it. As we seek to glorify God, His Scripture is sufficient. Let us desire it. Let us, by God's grace, desire it more and more. The apostle said in the Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. The word of God builds us up. It is sufficient to build us up. Oh, how many in this world seek to build themselves, seek to build the church on their own ideas, rather than building upon the word of God. We must build upon the word. The word must guide what we do individually, what we do as a church. But this doctrine also encourages us. It encourages us. The theologian John Murray said that our dependence upon Scripture is total. And because it is sufficient, there is this total dependence. How is this doctrine encouraging to us? Well, the word that we believe for salvation is sufficient. It is complete, it is sure, it is true. The word that we rest upon for comfort and strength and grace is sufficient and complete. And true, the psalmist said, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. He knew the word would do it. He knew the word is sufficient. The word that we believe upon for salvation is sufficient. Dear unbeliever this evening, you need Christ. You need salvation. And the word of God tells you of that need. And shows you a Christ who is sufficient. A Christ who can meet your need. The apostle said, as we considered this morning, He is the chief of sinners. The greatest sinner. But yet, Christ was sufficient to save him. The work of Christ was sufficient. The word of God that tells us that is a sufficient word. A sufficient word. We can remind ourselves as well that the word that we seek to live out and proclaim to others is sufficient to make them wise unto salvation and to encourage the Lord's people. Dear believer, that is encouraging to you and I. The word that we seek to live out and proclaim is sufficient. If we stumble over our words and we're unsure of what to say to those who are in their sins and we're trying to witness, Well, the Word of God is sufficient. Bring them to Scripture. Show them Scripture. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was caught in a snowstorm. He lived in England, not Canada. But there was a snowstorm. And quite a severe snowstorm in those days. And he went out to church, which is very interesting for a young lad who was unsaved. And there's a snowstorm. If we had a snowstorm like that, we would think, well, we should maybe not go to church. We'll stay inside. He didn't have a warm car. He didn't have the latest jacket from Canada Goose or whatever that company's called. Those nice jackets that keep you warm. He didn't have that. He went out and he walked and walked, planning to go to a church. He didn't get as far as the church that he wanted to go. But how commendable it is, he set out for church. Whenever there are many reasons, far less serious than a snowstorm, why individuals don't come to the house of God. But he went out and he stopped at this small church. He couldn't make his final destination. He went in and began to try to warm himself. The preacher that morning couldn't make the service because of the weather. And he didn't show up. In those days, you couldn't phone and say, I'm not going to make it. And can you do the service instead of me? He just didn't show up. And so this man stood up in the pulpit. A man that Spurgeon later referred to as being simple. Not in an offensive sense, but he was a simple man. He didn't have education. He didn't have theological training. He had a simple employment. He was not a preacher. That is what Spurgeon was saying. This man was not a preacher, but he stepped in to bring a word to that congregation that day. And he preached that text in Isaiah. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. A man who was limited in what he could say. A man who had little or no preparation. And he repeated his text again and again, and he saw this young man. And he applied his text to him. And God used him in spite of himself. In spite of the limited ability he had to bring the word of God, God used him. Young Spurgeon saw his great need of a Savior. He realized that salvation was all of God. He trusted in Christ. And you know who I'm talking about by using the name Spurgeon. Why? Because God blessed him. And his ministry is still spoken of today. And his ministry is still appreciated today. And his works of sermons are still being read and being published again and again. God blessed his ministry in a mighty way. But how was he saved? Simple man who brought a very basic message. If I stood up and preached like that, or one of our ministers came and preached like that, you'd wonder, what's happened? What's wrong? We expect something a little better. But God used it. God used it. And dear believer, let that be an encouragement to you. Though you may be discouraged by the little amount that you may be able to say for Christ, the little amount you may feel able to say for Christ, look to Christ to bless that little gospel seed that is set forth, because his word is sufficient. If truth be told, we are all insufficient. Spurgeon himself, insufficient to sound forth the sufficient word of God. But yet the grace of God is a wonderful thing. Look to those events like Spurgeon's testimony to encourage your soul to say something for Christ, to plant that little seed. Though you may be nervous, though you may be afraid, though you may not know how to fully set forth everything, pray for God to help you to say something from his sufficient word that he would use. That's an encouragement to us. It's an encouragement to the Sunday school worker, to the parent, to the grandparent. You may be able to say little for Christ, but that same word is sufficient. It is sufficient. In light of learning and knowing Scripture, this doctrine encourages to know Scripture, to not rest on the little that we know, but to grow more and more in the knowledge of Christ. It encourages us to know more of the sufficient word. And so therefore, dear believer, let us nurture ourselves. Let us immerse ourselves. Let us soak ourselves in the Word of God, for it is sufficient. It is enough for us. Notice here as well that when we think of this only rule that God has given and the sufficiency of it, it is a doctrine that is rejected. It is rejected. One preacher in recent days was writing on this particular subject and wrote that when he began in ministry many, many years ago, he fully expected to deal with the assaults of the world upon the church and upon the sufficiency of Scripture. But he was shocked by many of those attacks that actually did come, and it came from inside the church. It came from inside the church. I saw an article that had been posted today, and I opened Facebook this morning, and this was the first thing that hit me in the face. It was news. It was news from the Times newspaper in England. Now, Facebook have stopped showing news, but someone got around it by showing the screenshot, the photograph, and I looked at it. It was about the Women's World Cup. The final took place today. England were playing, so it was very much an English thing, a British thing, to think of their women's team in the final of this competition. Quite a big achievement. And this article concerned the reaction of the Church of England to this soccer game that would take place at 11 a.m. this morning in the United Kingdom. Right at the time, worship was on. And what was happening? There were those in the Church of England who were quoted as speaking about the importance of this occasion. So therefore, it's okay to set God's word aside because your women's soccer team has made the final of the competition. These were individuals who are supposed to lead in worship and to emphasize the importance of God's word and the sufficiency of God's word. Yet God's word is being set aside. Services were being finished early so they could watch the soccer. Services were being cancelled for a community event so they could watch the soccer. God's word was being set aside. We could refer to the Sabbath day also, but the context here is the sufficiency of Scripture. If God's word is sufficient and we must desire it and we must put it first, then why is it being cancelled for sporting events? It's because it's not believed. That doctrine is not believed. It's being set aside and it is being rejected. And some of the quotations by Church of England clergymen, clergywomen too, I think were quoted in that, if that's such a thing, as the whole article was shocking and showed the state of religion within the Church of England that certainly is an apostate church and has departed from the truth in so many ways. Shocking to read. A church that would profess to be Christ's church. Well, we can just set aside our services and the word this Sunday. If you believe God's word is sufficient, you have that opportunity then to preach the word and to worship the Lord and to have the word as central, but that was not the case. That is not the case. Dear believer, God's word should come first within our lives. We can think of the charismatic church and their extra revelation and their prophecies, all the things they add. We can think of man's beliefs. One of the interesting issues within Presbyterianism, not Free Presbyterianism, but Presbyterianism in Northern Ireland, the church that we broke away from 70 years ago. One of the interesting issues there over the last number of years was that their assembly had passed a motion that would prevent those in a same-sex relationship from becoming a full member of the church, what Scripture would teach and what we would hold to. But it caused absolute war, because there were those liberals within that denomination who opposed that and felt that that should not be the case. High profile ministers and elders, some elders resigned in protest, a protest against reaffirming what the Word of God actually teaches. Scripture, therefore, when it teaches about those matters of morality, is not sufficient. Man's ideas are more important, and that is what they were saying. That is the implication of their argument. Time has moved on. Set the Word of God aside. Set it aside. Because this is more important. This is more important. They took that doctrine of sufficiency. They took the confession of faith or catechism that said that this is the only rule by which we can glorify God, because supporting that motion is not glorifying God. They took the catechism, what they're supposed to believe, and they ripped it up. They took the Word of God and might as well have ripped it up, because they were not obeying it. They were rejecting it. And we see that today, time and time again. And dear believer, then, holding to the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture is a witness. Believing in the rule that God has given that we may glorify Him, and glorifying Him through that sufficient rule is a witness to those who have set it aside. A witness. Not a statement of pride, but a witness. That we believe that truth, that we live that truth, that we practice that truth. May we not set the Word of God aside. May we not set aside our belief in the sufficiency of Scripture. May we love it. May we stand for it. May we love and desire the Word of God. Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." He says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." And when we think of that rule God has given, that sufficient rule, we're to love it. We're to be serious about it. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Word of God is to be in that high place within our lives. If someone has a serious accident, what do? We call 911. We're not going to go home and on our way home phone the operator at 911 just for a little chat about the weather and how they're doing and how their family is. Why? We keep it for emergencies. The Word of God is not to be treated like that by us. Just for emergencies, our 911, spiritually speaking, we're to be serious about it. We're to love it day by day. It's to be at the center of our lives, because we are glorifying God. And that is our rule and our guide in glorifying God. Let us be serious about the Scriptures. Let us apply the Word of God to our lives. The hymn writer said, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." It's a great foundation laid for us, that we would glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Dear believer, use the Word. Love the Word. Put the Word first. May it be our final rule of faith and practice. May it be that sure foundation. May it be a book that prospers you and I as the people of the Lord. May the Lord bless His Word this evening. May we learn from this doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture to be closer to the Word, to have it first within our lives, first within our families, to the glory of God.
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from Micah chapter 2 and the verse 10. "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." Arise and depart. The hour is approaching when the message will come to us as it comes to all. Arise and go forth from the home in which thou hast dwelt, from the city in which thou hast done thy business, from thy family, from thy friends. Arise and take thy last journey. And what know we of the journey? And what know we of the country to which we are bound? A little we have read thereof, and somewhat has been revealed to us by the Spirit. But how little do we know of the realms of the future? We know that there is a black and stormy river called Death. God bids us cross it, promising to be with us. And after death, what cometh? What wonder world will open upon our astonished sight? What scene of glory will be unfolded to our view? No traveller has ever returned to tell, but we know enough of the heavenly land to make us welcome our summons thither with joy and gladness. The journey of death may be dark, but we may go forth on it fearlessly, knowing that God is with us as we walk through the gloomy valley, and therefore we need fear no evil. We shall be departing from all we have known and loved here, but we shall be going to our Father's house, to our Father's home, where Jesus is, to that royal city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This shall be our last removal, to dwell forever with him we love, in the midst of his people, in the presence of God. Christian, meditate much on heaven. It will help thee to press on and to forget the toil of the way. This veil of tears is but the pathway to the better country. This world of woe is but the stepping stone to a world of bliss. Prepare us, Lord, by grace divine, for thy bright courts on high. Then bid our spirits rise and join the chorus of the sky. We trust the Lord will bless that devotional and our program to you today. We thank you for joining with us. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we are delighted that day by day you join with us as we let the Bible speak. This is the end of our program today. We invite you back on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service. We're back on Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. And we trust that you'll join with us again as we consider the Word of God. Have a blessed weekend, and may you know much of the Lord's blessings to your soul. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's Word. Our weekday program continues on Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Have a blessed weekend, and may the Lord continue to bless the preaching of his word to each one of us.